In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, welcome to our small and intimate Sunday night service. And I'm glad to see you all here. I hope it doesn't come down on us rain-wise, but maybe afterwards the rain can come as we do need it. And it was a hot day, especially. And as it was hot, it reminds me that it is summertime. June 21st was the official start to the summer season, and with it, to Florida came the humidity. Right after Pentecost, on the 4th of June, I had a great honor in my life as I got to travel to my hometown of Amarillo, Texas. And I got the point of that trip was to have a little break for about a week, but more importantly, that we took my six-month-old son, Gabriel, to meet my father and my grandmother, his great-grandmother, for the first time. So it was bittersweet, just seeing that relationship kindled in the flesh, but as well, it just went way too fast. But as I travel to my hometown at least once a year, sometimes twice, I have this little tradition that I like to do. And when I go, especially to the places that have meant a lot to me, and I like to get off by myself, kind of out of the hustle and bustle of all the family things, and I like to either drive around or walk around to the places that have meant a lot to me in my just growing up. You know, and that can be houses of people, and maybe those people still live there or they don't, but I have fond memories of those places. I went by the houses I grew up in, and got to see the church that meant so much in my development as a young person. And this time was kind of really neat for me because this came because of how busy we were doing, seeing all these family functions and being in Texas, and kind of every minute was spoken for. And when it wasn't spoken for, I've got a 3-year-old and a 6-month-old, and you know how life like that goes probably. But I got to take my 3-year-old Jackson. And we were going to get takeout dinner over at the Outback because we had been cooking all week, and we just, our last night there, we didn't want to cook. And so I took him to get a pickup order for us to all have dinner. We were staying at my grandparents' house. And we kind of took the long way so I could go do this tradition I have. And this time I got to tell him, hey buddy, this is where I grew up. And this is the church I went to when I grew up. And then I showed him my high school. And this was it's a big 5A Amarillo High School. It is a large school. But something weird and strange that I wasn't expecting happened to me when I was showing him that high school. I looked at the football field where I had practiced as a high school football player. And I remembered all the days of 105 heat, 2-a-days, all of those things. But all of a story I am not proud of popped into my mind. And I didn't even know it was still there. It's something I probably would have been happy to forget. But on one of those 105 summer 2-a-days practices and the second practice, there was a guy that I didn't know him from Adam. At that point, we were freshmen on the team at that point, and the little guys, freshmen coming up all the way through senior, so we got picked on a lot. And this guy that was, we had the gold team and the black team. The freshmen were all divided, trying to make it to the higher levels. And for whatever reason, we weren't friends, we weren't enemies, we had no beef together. But I think a lot of things in our lives leading into that blood, sweat, and tears, this pure heat being exhausted, I think we were just agitated by that, maybe other things going on in our personal lives. And so we were all practice long for whatever reason. We were just grating on each other. And we had pads on, and we could make it, it's legal to hit people. And then take your frustration out on people. And we were just egging each other on, and our competitive sides led to anger and frustration. And this is one of the only physical fights I have ever been in my life. And at that point, I would have been happy to say, I think I won. that we were in pads, it didn't really count, but I got a few more punches in than the other guy got in. But then when I got home that night, and it didn't last long, the other players and the coaches separated us, and we had 2 weeks of punishment. And, you know, running as much as we could while we were throwing, it wasn't worth it, the punishment that came. But when I was at home and thinking by myself, and when I had to tell my dad, I got in a fight at football practice, and I think I held my own, but you know what? When I'm here by myself, it doesn't feel good. And I can't believe my anger got to such a point that I came to fisticuffs with somebody else. And the ironic thing is I'm now friends and still friends with that guy I got into the fight with. But I felt awful. That it went to that point. And I tell that story because our Romans, that letter we heard to the Romans from Paul tonight, is a lot about what I was experiencing. Here I am, two decades, even more, close to three decades after that happened. And I thought I had forgotten, like it was gone, buried in the past. And as I was driving by it, that's the memory that popped into my head. And it just made me realize sometimes the sin in our life is a very real force that we can feel buried by and controlled by. And so Romans 6 has something to offer for us tonight. If you have ever felt that way, that there's these sins in your life or behaviors or whatever it is, something that you hold and it's very private, there's something that Romans 6 offers us all tonight. Sundays we have started. Joe probably told you last week that we're going to be preaching in the summer from Romans, which we have in the lectionary, and then at our coffee hour or the education hour in the morning on Sundays, we'll be teaching on the gospel, the reading for the day. So the Matthew reading today is loaded with all kinds of other good stuff. And if you really want to hear about it, you can go and listen to it online. So, and I encourage you to do that if you want to know more about Matthew 10 that we read tonight. But for what we have, we're going to stay in Romans 6, just 11 verses. But in my mind, Romans 6, in its entirety, we have a good chunk of it tonight, and we'll have the second part of it next week. But there has never been, Paul did a phenomenal job of capturing in 11 verses a snapshot of what the gospel of Christ means for all of us. Romans 6, 1 through 11. Last week, if you were here, Joe talked about what justification means. The big theological church word, justification. And what justification means is that in the death of Jesus on the cross and in his resurrection especially, not the grave, not holding him, what we celebrate at Easter, that we are made clean. We are justified before our Lord. And so that was all about last week, justification, that we began our journey into the letter to the Roman Christians at that time that Romans writes. What we have tonight, beginning in verse 6, and kind of chapter 6, 8, which we will have over the next 3 weeks, deals with another very heavy but important theological term for all of us: sanctification. So we have justification and we have sanctification, and those two things in itself are the very essence of what the good news of the gospel of Christ means for all of us. So justification, again, is that we're all made clean by the cross of Christ. But it doesn't stop there. We advance into our faith journey, and the more as we mature, and sanctification becomes the growing into the likeness of our Savior. And as we all know, I know I talk about that story that I bring up. Every morning we wake up, we have a battle, a spiritual battle to fight. And we can either ignore that battle and just go on with the busyness of the day, or we can meet it head on. And that battle that I talk about is we have the things of the flesh, the things that our flesh crave. Some of those things are natural and good and of God. And then there's things that the flesh craves which can rot us from the inside, can destroy us. And those are the things that we either can choose, those things, give me, or I need to put up a barrier against those things. And that is a daily battle for all of us. What sanctification is, as I said, that is the recognition of that battle. That even if you have been baptized into the Christian church, or if you're just seeking and God is working in you, no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, sanctification is that God is tugging on your heart. The Holy Spirit is at work and telling you, yes, you are mine, and now the battle is on. And it doesn't mean, because you know me, that life is going to get easier. I hear some churches and some radio things, it's called the health and wealth gospel, that if you just find Jesus, all your problems are going to go away. You'll have everything you ever needed. Yeah, I've heard that one before. As a young child, first read Romans 6, what it told me was, I am, as a baptized Christian, as someone who wants to grow in my maturity, into my Christian walk, that I die with Christ on the cross. And then I was born anew through the resurrection of Jesus. Not, I don't just read about these things, but if I proclaim Christ in my heart, that actually happens spiritually. I died with Christ on the cross, and I have a new life through the resurrection of Jesus. And all of a sudden, that theological ideas that we just can stay here, they jump right here, and they become very real and deep to all of us. And our imperfectness that we all know too well, that in the seventh chapter of Romans, you'll hear Paul, the one who was Saul and had that conversion on Damascus Road to become Paul, one of the great cornerstones of the New Testament church, and how he wrote the majority of our New Testament. That Paul, in the seventh chapter of Romans, says, why do I do the things that I don't want to do? I know I shouldn't be doing, and yet I keep doing it. I keep screwing up. I had that, I can't tell you how many times in my own life I have had that own experience. Where I remember as a young kid, I'd go to church camp. I'd say, I have this thing in my life I just need to give up. And then I'd lay it down at an altar call, praying, saying, yeah, I've got the power. I'm not going to do whatever that is any longer. 2 to 3 weeks later, that's what I'm doing again. And then I'm like, oh, it's okay. I've got this other retreat weekend in the church coming up. I can start over then. It's like, all right, this time is the time. I'm not going to do whatever that bad thing is again. Maybe it's a week, and I find myself doing it again. That pattern, as much as I think about it, is insane. And yet it is human nature that we find ourselves continually in those patterns, trying to rely on our own strength to get us through those things that might rule over us, that may destroy us from the inside out. What Romans 6 tells us tonight is that we do not have to do that any longer. We die with Christ. We nail our old self to the cross with him. All of our imperfections, all of that old stuff, those old houses, those old memories, the things that would entrap us and snare us and hold us into bondage. We no longer, we nail those things with the cross and they die with Christ. And we come out on the other side of resurrection with new life. That's what we are baptized into and what we seek in the power that Jesus offers all of us. And I love that Paul uses baptism as one of the signs of how this happens in our lives. It's way too easy as we do baptism a fair amount, and as my son Gabriel was baptized just on Pentecost, just a few weeks ago, just to go through the motions. The definition, you know, baptism is one of the seven sacraments of the liturgical church. And that definition of sacrament is an outward, invisible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Paul is using baptism as a symbol of what he's telling us about dying with Christ and being raised with Christ. And as we practice, I'm not favoring one type of baptism model over another one, but we like to do the sprinkling, where the head of either an infant all the way to someone who can be 150 years old. We'll baptize whoever earnestly desires to be baptized. But sometimes I think for what we're talking about tonight, for the 11 verses that we have in chapter 6, that it might be more symbolically if we went out to the river and did the full go under the water. Because the symbol we have there, Paul really wants us to get in touch with the spiritual nature of baptism, the inward, invisible sign of God's grace and love for all of us. Once you go under that water of baptism, the priest that's baptizing you, if he or she actually decides to hold you under that water, you may actually physically die. But hopefully no priest is that mean. But symbolically, you go under, and then you come up into new life. You are baptized into a new identity, a union with Christ. You die with him. Everything of the old, all your imperfectness is nailed to the cross. And you begin a new life, a new identity through your union with Christ into being baptized into his resurrection. And that is a very profound message for all of us, and not something to be taken lightly. What it tells us is that we're all pretty good at least I hope, we're all pretty good at forgiveness. But Christ did not only come that we might all be forgiven. Through union with him, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we all can taste freedom. Not just forgiveness, but freedom. And what that means, we no longer have to be buried underneath sin. We are free to step out of it through the power of our union with Christ. And that, I say that, tomorrow I'm going to fail. I'm going to be imperfect the rest of my life. And that's the battle we will all fight. But that's the journey of sanctification. Justification happened with the cross of Christ. Bang, done. We are all justified. But we still have this daily battle to fight because we live in an imperfect world that tells us, it shows us, with all the oppression, with all the pain. You know, there's a lot of celebration in this world, but too easy. You turn on the news and you see we need a Savior. We need to be sanctified. We need to be redeemed. That's how it happens for us. Justified with the cross and resurrection, and then our spiritual life, the journey as we mature into our relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are made free. Not just forgiven, we are made free living into the identity of Christian, disciple, follower of Jesus Christ. What great news. What good news that is for all of us. And not just to be hoarded, not just to stay here amongst this group of people in this place. Once that union becomes real, that relationship becomes real to you, it's meant to go out there like wildfire and to change the world, to let everybody know all of humanity was justified, and then the work of sanctification. And there's great challenge in that. It's much easier said than done, but out of that reality, as Philippians 4:13 tells us, we can do all things through that identity that strengthens us. What a great thing to take in and to ponder on tonight.